Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to the Strike a Chord Podcast, Amla.
Yes.
Experience versus talent. How would you interpret experience versus talent in the music scene or musicians, or even, I suppose, it goes out to not only the musicians, but sound people and organizers as well. But let's start with the musicians.
That's a massive question.
It's a massive question. That's why I'm asking it.
Oh, I don't know where to begin. Experience versus talent, I guess for me, if I wanted to sum it up in a couple of sentences or words, when I hear talent, I have a few friends who are very talented. I won't name them. I guess it's, for me, it's they can just open their mouth and magic falls out of it, especially with singers, I've noticed. Yeah. I'm working on my singing and I'm working quite hard to sound average at it, in my opinion. And then I hear my friends just who tell me they don't practice a lot. Yeah. And they just it just sounds effortless and beautiful when they sing. So I guess that's a talent in itself. It's like it's always been there. Perhaps they nurtured it growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's such a big topic. I also think of when you're a kid, what happens. I feel like that's so important, the early stages of life, if your parents exposed you to music and how that shapes your, I guess, your capacity or ability.
And supported you through the journey.
That as well, along with I feel like the reason why I'm able to hear things and pitch them is because my parents aren't musical, but they exposed me to so much music growing up. I was listening to music all the time. It was Michael Jackson, whether it was, doesn't matter who it was, it
sounds
was
like
music.
A familiar story.
Yeah. I mean, that's a start on it. Like, I don't know if you can elaborate on that.
Yeah. I think that statement, experience versus talent, I think, In an ideal world, you'll have the combination of both, and some people do have both. And the way they get there is they are talented from the start and they gain the experience as they get older, or as, you know, as time goes by and they do what they do. I think sometimes it's a fine line between when you're gigging between someone who's talented and someone who's experienced. Like, some people, as you said, have no effort. They go and play, and others will put in so much effort and work behind the scenes, and they'll go out, and you'll think that they're at the same level.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So you don't know who's who in the zoo sometimes until you play with them. I think experience is a very vital thing, but you gain that as you go through your journey of being an artist. Talent is something, obviously, that word talent meaning something that's not manufactured, right? That's, you know, naturally there. But I think talent can also be obtained, like you said, through family or through, you know, your journey as a kid and growing up and everything like that, and just absorbing everything, and I think talent is there within everyone.
Yes,
I really do. I just think it's the way, the way it's taken out of that person, the way it's driven through to that person. Like, for me, I started playing guitar at a very, very young age. But my dad was a musician, and as yourself, we were listening to music every day and all kinds of music. So we were brought up in that realm. It was a normal thing for me. So growing up, I didn't really see it as a talent. I saw it as a way of life.
Yeah.
The thing that I found difficult was playing, and you had the talent to play and everything like that, and probably to grasp things and everything like that, but starting to play professionally, you had to play with guidelines and you had to play with people. So that's where the experience, I think, comes in, and your time on stage.
Definitely.
Gig fit.
Yeah, you know? Gig fit. And even like you can be really talented, but like you said, it can, how you, I guess, finesse the flow with that.
Yeah, exactly.
As you get older and gain more experience, especially with performing, you could be really talented in your room and feel that you can sing naturally in the shower. But then if you haven't performed in front of people before, and that's where the experience comes in and the
correct.
I guess that's a good way of putting it, gig fit.
Yeah. And being gig fit, I think harnesses your talent too, because you get more confident where you can actually start experimenting things on stage. So know what it's like to be on stage. You know what it's like to have those butterflies in your stomach. You know how it is, you know, when it settles, when you're, you know, midway through a set. And that's when you start experimenting. And that's through, I think, through two things, through your talent and through your confidence. And I think the combination of both really plays well. Like if you haven't got either of them, it's unbalanced. So I think I think that talent and that confidence will bring you, will put you on that on that road of good experience and that big fit.
Yeah, I guess then talent, you reminded me, recently I studied, what do you call it, the Suzuki method. I don't know if you've heard of it. Mm. And that's actually based on a talent education year before I, and the whole concept that we're able to learn a language from such a young age because we're technically sponges and absorb everything.
Correct.
I wish I'd learned a language as a kid, but I didn't. But I guess I learned music. Yeah. That's a language. Well, that's a language. And,
it's universal.
It's a universal language. And like you said, I believe, I agree with you, everyone has an inborn talent or everyone has a talent.
Yep.
It's just those, I feel for me, I don't know, you might agree or disagree. I feel like the beginning of your life is an important time to receive information. The kind of information you are receiving as a kid can shape the talent that you, I mean, I
agree to a certain extent, because it's never too late, right? Oh,
it's never too late. Never too late.
The thing that I've noticed, and I've been in that. Yeah. I've grown up with playing and music and everything like that. But the older you get, the more mature you get, and you look at things in a different way. So you're learning different things.
That's true.
You know, so you're learning probably a different genre of music, and you're learning a different approach, and you're learning shortcuts. You're learning different techniques. I don't think you can learn that when you're.
Oh no, you won't be learning that as a kid. I guess I'm thinking more in terms of, say, orally, for example, whatever you're exposed to orally.
Yeah, like you're familiar whether with it be the rhythms, language, rhythms, and, or the tones, or you're familiar with it.
Yeah, and then because I mean, it's never too late. Like I picked up the violin in my mid-20s.
Yeah, I know.
And like you said,
you smashed it.
Well, I mean, like I was really into it. Not for the first year, I wanted to smash it literally. <Yeah. laughs> But I guess that, like you said, with that comes the determination. I mean, it's,
determination.
If you enjoy it, you're going to really work at it. And
I agree. There is a certain point where you're going to break yourself. I think because the talent that you have doesn't equate to the stage presence that you have sometimes.
Yeah,
and this is where you're going to break yourself.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing, because you'll learn from it.
Yeah,
like you can be a concert pianist and everything, and you can go on stage and you can have a brain lapse or brain fart, whatever, and then everything just goes downhill. I think the more you have those little experiences and those little what we call mistakes, or we won't call them mistakes, we'll call them points of development.
Yeah, great.
Right? The more you have that, the more you learn. And if you're aware of it, you'll learn quite quickly. But if you don't take it on board and you're not aware of it, you're going to do the same mistakes all the time. You can be the most talented musician or artist in the world, you're still going to have those mistakes on stage, and you're going to feel frustrated.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go forward. And I think we've all been in that situation before, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think Michael Jordan talks about it, how he became, like, you know, he's one of the best basketball players.
Yeah.
And he just said something like what you said. I can't quote it exactly, but he was talking about, he looked at his mistakes as learning points for growth. He's like, okay, so that's an area I can work on. That's as learning points rather than, oh, I failed, or let's give up now, which I guess for me in my early stages, I kept doing that. I kept going, oh, I'm not meant for this. I can't do this. And then that one comment can keep I mean, like you said, it's not just talent. You could have the talent as well, but then you've got to have that the why you're doing it and the enjoyment of it, and then the just the persistence. Like, you've got to be really patient with yourself too.
That's a very good point. Patient with yourself. That's overlooked so many times.
We all develop at different stages.
Even to this day, sometimes we do it.
We're not patient with ourselves. Do it. It's just in old habits.
Yeah, especially when you get like a new repertoire or something like that. You have to rehearse and you're impatient with yourself because you want to get it out and you want to get it out to the best possible ability you can.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think you just gotta just change your way of thinking and say, all right, look, this is not going down the right path. It's not sounding right or whatever. And you gotta take a step back.
Mm.
You gotta think that yes, I have the talent, but I need to work as well to gain that experience. Whether it's stage experience or whether it's experience just rehearsing. Sometimes people don't have experience in rehearsing.
Yeah, it's a different skill.
It's a different skill. Yeah. Different, even with your own rehearsal. When you're rehearsing by yourself, that takes a lot of discipline and experience, right?
And learning and knowing how to practice it correctly. Yeah.
And the other thing is when you have the rehearsals with other people.
Yeah.
So you can be the most talented person in the world. You can go into a rehearsal and be in a corner and no one can hear you and you won't be recognized. If you don't have those skills to communicate.
Yeah.
Not only verbally but musically as well.
Yeah.
So it's a funny thing. Like, if you're a solo performer and you've got your talent and you've got everything that all the stepping stones need to be a solo performer, that is great. And if you're performing all the time, you're getting the experience. So you're overcoming, and being a solo performer is one of the hardest things that you can do. But then if you decide to go into a band, well, then that changes a little bit because the dynamics change. So you can be the most talented person playing on your own. You get thrown into a band situation and you get lost in the mix.
Mm.
So this is where the experience comes in, the way I see it.
Oh, I agree. They're two different, again, two different skill sets.
Two different.
And I guess we've both experienced that in ourselves from the moment we were performing on our own. Mm. I mean, I started with bands first. I mean, classically I did stuff on my own and that was nerve-wracking too.
Yeah, because you would have done it at uni and everything like that. Yeah. That's pressure.
And especially you're watching other people who play your instruments sitting in the audience critiquing. But I mean, that's a different solo versus, I mean, that's even a different way to perform as a soloist versus your own music, I guess. And that's, I mean, we could go on on and on about
that's another avenue. But one thing that I always got this feedback as a teenager when I was playing, because I started playing professionally as a teenager. But before that, I would play and play. I was a massive introvert.
Yeah.
Even though I don't seem like it now. But playing, it was like, it was okay when you're at home and you're in your room, you're playing or whatever. And then you go out there and you start playing professionally. And I started playing when I was about, I don't know, 14, 15, or something like that.
You're so young.
And it was young. I was getting a good pay packet at the age of 14, 15. But always, and my dad, bless his soul, he was a person who engaged with people on stage. He was a front man.
Yeah.
And I would be there playing, and as a teenager, things are going into your head and, you're a teenager. You don't want to be bothered with shit, right? Yeah. Especially with advice from your old man, it's like, whatever, that's how you think about it as a teenager. But it wasn't only from him, from other people as well. Like, if you're going to be a musician and you've got talent, you've got immense talent, your experience is going to give you what is needed for the crowd.
Yes.
You need to be more engaging with the crowd. You have to play for the crowd. And my dad always drilled into that. We're there for them. You're always playing for them. You can't sit there and just play with your head down and play. You're playing magnificently and you can play the best guitar in the world. But if you don't get up and acknowledge the crowd and see what's going on, they're not going to have you as an artist.
Mm.
Because they don't know anything else. They want a feed from you. So I suppose that's the experience part as well. It's not only about talent, but if you're going to be performing on stage,
yeah.
Well, then you have to give something back to the audience. You have to talk to them. You have to, you know, which I dreaded all the time talking to the audience, and now I'm doing it regularly.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a great talker, but I need to talk because I need to engage, and I feed off their energy as well. So, yeah. That talent is there. We know it's there. The experience is something that you gain, obviously. But there are some people that have both just off the bat.
Yes. Yeah.
And that
there's some freaks out there.
Yeah, and that is amazing. If you have that talent, you're delete. But that is something that's rare. And yeah. It doesn't mean that you have to have both things. You can work on them. You can work on either end. It's not about you know, if you haven't got this, and this, you can't be an artist.
If you really want it, you're going to put in the work to develop both. Definitely. And like what you said, experience. I feel like experience, and even I feel like I really still need to work on stage presence and engaging with the audience, because I still keep my head down at times. It's the introvert coming back. And that's something I can work on.
I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat, because when we play things that are not common and they're complicated. So we need to focus on what we're playing. But it doesn't mean that we're just going to do that for the whole night, or we're going to, you know, or do that even for the whole piece. Sometimes, you know, we do something and then we read and then we look up and we see what's going on. We're aware of it. But in some places, we really need to concentrate on what we're producing, on what we're playing.
Yes. And then that we could also lose the audience there if depending on how focused. And it's funny, I'm learning this through the mariachi stuff I'm playing, because I'm at the point now where Alejandro, like, he's amazing at this. He can play, can shred.
Yeah, and, he's fantastic.
And look at the audience and say something funny. And he actually pushes me to the front, and I'm just trying to memorize what I'm doing, like some complicated part while smiling and engaging with. And it's a really cool skill to have. And I'm not there yet.
Multitasking.
But yeah, it's really, you've got to know that part. And this is the practice as well. You've got to know that part inside out. And I'm not quite there yet with some songs. And he's really good at that art. It's an art.
He pushes you in to have a crack.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a crack, you'll never think that you're prepared.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's good that he does that in a way. And of course, I'm mortified at times. I'm like, but I mean, it's how I'm going to learn. Otherwise,
it's a development point.
Yeah, yeah.
Those
extra little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think when you're thrown into that situation, you think, oh my God, the world's going to cave in on me. But then you have a look at it and you think, oh, you know what? It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
You know, we're all human.
Yeah.
But I think that when this is where the talent comes in. So your talent will help you get over the line of those sort of things, because if you've got the talent, you'll be able to work your way out of a mistake, take yourself out of that hole, or help someone else out of that, you know. So this is where that talent is, but also the experience comes in where you know when to do it.
Yes,
you're aware of something's happening, something's not right. So, how am I going to turn this into?
Yeah, how am I going to
flip it into or bring it back? Yep. You've gone off the track. How are we going to bring it back?
Yeah. Exactly. You know? That's definitely the experience. Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's great to have both, and it's I guess we'll have different levels of both.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I feel like each musician, or doesn't have to be a musician again, it can be a talented carpenter who carpentry as well.
A little bit. I was gonna mention that as well, but you've already mentioned that. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you learn techniques and you learn, for example, carpentry. You learn some techniques, or you learn the planing, or you know how to route through, you know, different sort of, you know, wood, I suppose, carvings, anything like that. You know how to use the machines, or you know, you can do your hand or whatever. There are certain techniques that are standard, and there are some things that you learn by yourself.
Yeah.
And this is where the art of tool making comes in.
Mm.
So someone will make a tool to perform what they're going to perform.
Yeah.
For example, if it's a woodworking person, carvings and stuff like that, they'll probably make a jig to, you know, to help them produce what they're going to produce.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with music. If you're not sure of whether you're going to do it in this technique, well, you know what? I'm going to see if I can figure out something else to help me and help me do this. Some people use different technique of guitaring. Some people use different technique in different instruments and styles. But some people will create something to have a unique sound or the sound that's in their head.
Mm.
For example, the other day I saw a guy playing a 6-string violin that's got guitar frets on it.
Oh, cool.
Right?
Okay.
And it's not tuned like a guitar.
Okay.
It's actually tuned like a violin with an extra 2 strings, right? And it had frets on it. And yeah. It's electric, you know? I think, geez, someone who's had a need for it,
yeah,
has sprung up with this. Or there's a guitarist that wanted to play violin, or a violinist who wanted to play guitar and wanted that sound, and they've created that.
Yeah.
So that's talent as well.
That is definitely talent. You know? Yeah.
And making that will give you the experience of making a tool.
Yeah.
So it's all interlaced, but I think the talent kicks it off.
Definitely. And I guess with experience and even the experiences we have growing up can shape, I'm going to talk about stage presence here or our own flavor of how we interact with an audience. I mean, it's experience, obviously, but then we all have our own little humor, like different ways of presenting and talking and speaking.
Yep. Yep.
So even our experiences can shape even the flavor of what we create, even improv and things like that.
Even combined. The flavor of the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the space that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, it affects everything. That's why it's important to have that experience on stage. If you're a musician, if you're a live performing musician, if you're a session musician or a studio musician or a studio artist or whatever your platform might be, it's required there as well, because when you're recording, your talent is probably going to get you in the door, but your experience is going to get you through the session.
And even the way the experience and the talent, and people are going to hear that in their devices.
Correct.
So they're going to somehow hear your character or the way your personality through
That's
the music.
Right. And the experience is going to give you the efficiency. Like you're going to walk into a session, like someone's hired you for a studio session. You're going to walk in. They're probably going to give you charts or whatever. And if you're a good reader, you're going to go bang, 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 and add a few things of yourself. And you're going to be really efficient. They're going to get you again, again, again.
Yes.
If you don't have that and you just have talent, you're still going to do the job, but it might take a bit longer because your talent might not fit the purpose of what they're recording.
Yes.
They've hired you and you're not quite fit for purpose. So your talent, you're relying on your talent to flip things around and do it towards how you're producing your art, but experience also brings versatility.
Definitely, that's such a good point. And in the end, someone who wants to hire a studio musician is going to pick someone with more experience. I mean, the talented person may be, I guess, more advanced in their craft. But the experienced person will be able to adapt more easily to the style of music or what's required.
100%.
And it will save the people paying for these sessions more money.
100%.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this with bass players in particular.
Yeah.
Bass players can be so versatile where they'll go and record all sorts of genres. And at one stage a few years back, bass players were really, not only here in Australia but around the world, they were really busy with session work because an experienced bass player will be able to play like 5 different genres. So he'll go from one session to another. And that's how they make money. Some of them won't even perform live. But I'm not quite sure why the bass player, but that I saw that sort of like in the past being, you know, a bass player, a session bass player would have a lot of work. Mm. And I think it's because of the way the instrument is as well. It adapts, like a bass, you need a bass in a lot of genres.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whereas bass guitar, just lifts it a bit. Yeah.
Guitar, you probably don't need in a jazz trio. It's probably a piano, bass and drums.
Yeah.
You know, electronics, probably you probably don't need bass as well, but if you want that sort of human feel to it, you'll probably get a bass player. In a rock band, obviously bass player.
Bass, yeah.
You know, if you're just starting out and you've got just a drummer and a guitarist and you want to record something, well, you're going to get a bass player. So I think that's where it all stems at. And I considered actually playing bass full time for about 2-3 weeks. I was contemplating it.
Yeah.
Buying all the gear. This was a few years back.
Yeah.
Just bass players were getting a lot of work. And I thought, geez, this is probably something I should crack into. But I just didn't do it. I didn't have the balls, because being a good bass player requires a lot of work. So,
and then you almost have to go, do I want to sacrifice what I've already done on, extent?
Cause that's the other question that you
have. Yeah. It's, I was in a great position, but it was a different one. I was learning a euphonium or tuba.
Oh, really?
For a really cool band. They really needed, this was a few years ago, and I was like, I was all right at it. You know, I was picking it up, but then it was affecting my flute embouchure. I was going to be in this group, you know, I was planning to practice heaps and join this group and be playing Balkan brass music. Yeah, and I was excited, but it just messed up my flute embouchure so much that I had to decide whether, you know, what I wanted to do. And I just went, flute, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing, where your technique just changes and you got to be, that's also experience.
Yeah.
You got the talent to do it. But to change those techniques,
yeah,
like you were saying, your embouchure and everything, like you got to be, you got to learn a way of how to change those techniques.
Because, I mean, it's possible. It's definitely possible. Yeah, but then I didn't have the time to spend another hour warming up. Like it required me to spend an extra half an hour to an hour to just get the embouchure back for flute.
But again, that's experience, right?
That's experience, yeah.
So it's a good thing that you brought that up, because it's not a talent. Or there's a lot of people who are very talented and they play like 10, 15 different instruments.
Yeah.
But it's not the same, right? It's not the same. You're not going to be playing one instrument the same as the other.
No.
And you can't.
You can't.
And you really shouldn't, because every instrument has its own beauty. You have to, you know. So you saying that you haven't got the embouchure for the tuba and all that, you know, it's a thing that you're aware of and you didn't take it on. So you didn't commit.
Yeah.
You know, whereas some people say, oh, yeah, I'll play everything.
Yeah.
And
then
you
go there
and you think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you play everything.
Well, and I didn't want the quality to compromise the quality of.
The quality.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, but look, it's, you gave it a crack.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. You had another experience.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, that's really important for you to have those, to learn from those experiences. And your talent will grow from those experiences as well. I think, when you're under the pump and you're wanting to learn something quick, like you said with the tuba, you wanted to learn to be in this band.
Yeah, I wanted to be in
it
this
gives
band.
Gives you that the ambition, the determination to actually learn it, you know, and you're on that constantly, you know.
Mm.
So you're learning
again.
So you've got your own way of learning things, different tool or different skill set, but your learning pattern is somewhat the same.
Mm, you know? That's so true.
So,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to change your learning patterns.
Yeah.
I think.
I agree.
And it doesn't work with everything.
No.
But even me at my age now, I'm learning constantly every day, and I'm feeling that sometimes my usual tactics and my usual techniques, they don't work. So I go into research mode and I delve into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's maybe sometimes, well, sometimes it's just a little thing where you think, oh, just change this and it works, you know. Sometimes you think, nah, I need to do more to actually make it sound like this.
Mm.
Then you go deep diving.
Yes.
That's also a talent of how to go deep diving and how to, you know, off the bat, off what you know.
Well, that quest for knowledge.
The quest for, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, I think if you combine the two and you're aware of both and you treat both respectfully, then you'll be a top-notch artist. It's not if, it's when, you know, especially for these younger musicians that have all this talent and they're ready and raring to go and want to be rock stars. If you are performing live, if you want to perform live, as much stage presence as you can.
Mm.
Get gig fit. That is my advice to you. The other thing is that stay on top of your talent as well, because sometimes we do hit brick walls.
Yeah.
Especially in creativity. If you're going to compose and if you're going to arrange and you think I've got all this talent, then you hit a brick wall. You can't write, you can't compose, you can't do anything new if you're working on original things. It's like having writer's block.
Yeah.
Don't delve into that too much. Don't manifest into it. Brush it off a little bit. Give it a day or two and then come back to it.
Yep, that's right.
Because the talent has been with you all your life. So you got to nurture it somehow, not do the opposite.
Yeah, and practice makes progress.
Yeah.
I mean, and...
But also the type of practice.
The type of practice, I mean, less is more sometimes.
Exactly.
I mean, I used to do 6 to 8 hours a day when I was doing uni. And I'm grateful for it, but I wasn't practicing correctly. So everything took twice as long.
Yeah.
And
then exhausted.
I was exhausted. And now I'm not going to say how much practice. I still practice now, but nowhere near as much as what I did then. But it's more targeted practice.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, and I set timers as well. Otherwise, I can get lost in one thing, especially if I don't have a lot of time in the day to practice. Yeah. Like 5 minutes, multiphonics, 5 minutes, and then, you know, 10 minutes improv and things like that.
And that's a very wise thing to do, but that comes with experience.
Yes, it really does. I spent so many years just playing the notes over and over and over again. Yeah.
And that also is not only for your self-practice. I mean, you're practicing on your own. It's also a good thing to take on when you're practicing with a band.
Yes.
Because if you all know the repertoire, what are the target things that we need to practice? Where are the bits where people are not sure of or insecure of, where, you know, and by all means, this is something that I want to put in with my ensemble, with all of us. It's not just going through everything. But sometimes when you're putting together a set list and you don't know, well, you need to go through the whole set list or the whole song or the whole piece to get a... to get the context of it, to get
the
gist of it, the form, or how things are supposed to sound. But once you got that down and you're just rehearsing to keep up and keep your chops up and like that, just target it after that. You don't need to practice the whole thing. Just target it. Bang, bang, bang here, bang, bang, bang there. Let's go over this, go over that.
Oh, that's because so important.
Yeah, you know the form.
You know the form. You don't want to repeat the whole piece 20 times. And almost, I've been in groups like that where you just repeat the whole piece. Every rehearsal's the same.
Yeah.
There's no targeted practicing.
Yeah, my rehearsals have been a bit like that. but that's something that I want to implement.
Yeah.
Because we haven't got a lot of time. People rehearsing after work.
Yeah.
You know, in the evening. You know,
morale's down a bit.
Yeah, and people have been working all day. They're tired.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't go in there expecting to do a full set of rehearsals. You know, it's exhausting. So that's one thing I'm going to implement. Just targeted bits. You know. Where are people unsure of things? Here. Make notes. This is what we're going to rehearse. Just this part.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when it comes for a dress rehearsal or for that big rehearsal that you got more time for, that's when you do the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think, it's very important for that targeted practice. But in saying all of that, nurture your talent.
Yeah.
Yourself. Nurture it. And get as much experience as you can. And it doesn't necessarily mean only for musicians, but the people around you as well, like the audio engineers and people who are, you know, even marketing, that's a talent as well. And
that requires
experience, right?
Yeah.
People who are, you know, even the venue owners, you know, some people have just got it. Bang, they know. Bang, 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 this is what works. They know their own venue, right? But for example, for like in audio engineers and sound guys, you get some people who are learning and they're getting sort of the gist of it. And then you get some other sound guys it's the first time you're having this sound guy and they know bang, 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 bang. Not because they know their equipment, it's because they know what sort of music and it comes naturally to them. They
That's
see
so
it.
True. they have, they, it's almost like they can hear what they want it to sound like, or they know what your vision is.
Yeah, they hear your what you're hearing.
Yeah, they hear what you're hearing. Yeah.
And that's freaking talent.
That's talent. That is
and that's freaking
talent. I haven't met many but there's probably been two or three that I've gone, wow.
I've met one off the bat.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember his name. But we were doing a gig at the Thornbury Theatre many, many years ago. And I've always had issues miking up my guitar for shows. And this guy come about and he goes, you know what, I'm going to put this sort of a mic. I go, look, I've tried like these sort of mics before. You know, I've had issues with feedback. He goes, don't worry.
Yeah.
It didn't take him more than 5 minutes to fix my guitar. It's like bang, bang, bang. The monitoring, I could hear my guitar. It was probably the best I've heard on my guitar on a mic, because we had another guitarist and we had dancers and we had singers and whatever. And the whole night I could hear my guitar and I could just play my guitar.
Yes.
And I didn't know this guy at all. Like, he's the resident sound guy at the Stormy Theater, or was, I'm not quite sure now, but it was amazing just to sit there and play on a mic and hear yourself. It was like fantastic. and that was, you know, That was great. And then on the other hand, there's my resident audio engineer, Roland, who's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's got these little things. He knows where these frequencies are when you know, feedback happens. He can actually measure the frequency with his mouth, the same frequency. He gets the same pitch and he knows, bang, here it is, bang.
Yeah.
And he knows a lot. He knows his equipment, which is it's first and foremost for an engineer, but he knows now exactly what I'm wanting. So he knows exactly what is expected from me, and it's hard. It's hard to mic up acoustic instruments.
Yes. Oh, it is.
But he listens. He listens. He listens to what is required, and he listens to what's going on in the space too. And he knows that. Not every room is the same. Not every space is the same. You know, so that's important too.
Yeah,
and that's also talent.
That's a combination. That's a combination of talent and experience. Yeah. So,
but that is, I think it's very, very, very important to have that experience and a talent you nurture as a kid, maybe.
Yeah.
But you got to have that experience to complement it, and you know, be that artist that you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll call it there.
Yeah. Thanks
so much.
That was really interesting topic. Yeah.
A very interesting topic.
Yeah.
Until next time. Ciao.
Bye.
The Strike Accord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.